Radio's revolution and the world's happiest broadcasters continues with Ray Otis.
Now, much has been written and discussed within the radio broadcasting industry about the origins of the store's Top 40 music format. Here's what really happened. In 1950, Todd was approached by an administrator at the University of Omaha, now the University of Nebraska at Omaha, with results from a study conducted by an industrial psychological testing bureau. The study was designed in part to learn why people in Omaha listened to radio. Music was a big reason to listen, and KOWH made a showing in the study with its local Sweet Music program, then hosted by KOWH announcer George W. Armstrong. Todd purchased the study.
I ring the night. I ring the night. Good night, I ring. Good night, I ring. I'll see you in my dreams.
He then sent his assistant, Gaylord Avery, to New York City to monitor radio station WNEW, already a pioneer in popular music programming. Avery's assessment of WNEW and the study Todd had purchased convinced stores to remove network and transcribed programming on KOWH, which stood in the way of expanding its music programming. According to former KOWH newsman Walt Cavanaugh, Todd played popular music but frequently played the top 10 current hits. While the idea of Top 40 had roots in Omaha on KOWH with the frequent broadcast of the Top 10, the Top 40 per se began at Todd's second station, WTIX in New Orleans, purchased in 1953. On the occasion of his 1951 interview with Todd for the position of KOWH morning show host, Johnny Pearson recalls Todd's probing questions about
what type of person I thought I was talking to, who could be developed, and what would be their main type of listening. And we really evolved into a discussion on Top 40 without it being that. We were talking Top 10 at that time. He didn't know Top 40. He didn't know it was going to be that. But he knew the audience that was available and could be built on was going to be young and the ones going after, somewhere between the 15 years old and the 35 years old or so.
The apparent inspiration for Todd's early focused programming of the Top 10 was the long-running network radio program, Your Hit Parade.
Number one, the top tune of the week, the song the survey finds in first place.
Here it is, the song you've been waiting to hear, in its fourth straight week at the very head of Your Hit Parade. Eileen Wilson, the Hit Paraders, and song number one, Dear Hearts and Gentle People.
With the hiring of KBON Omaha's Sandy Jackson and his already top-rated requests and dedications program, daytime-only KOWH soon became the nation's top-rated independent radio station.
It's here. Settle back in your chair. It's here. Lose your worry and care. It's the Jackson Show, and Sandy, you know, is here.
Sandy Jackson being hired to work at the station was a big event.
Peggy McGrath.
He was so popular when I was a teenager with his request shows, and that was a big coup to get him.
With the outbreak of war in Korea, stores moved hourly KOWH news broadcasts to 5 minutes before the hour. It was unconventional, but KOWH listeners also heard a sensational news treatment.
News from around the world.
And news from around the corner.
These are the happenings of the moment from the KOWH News Center.
Former Stores newsman Charles Gray put it this way.
The idea of a news reporter in a store station was to be sort of a sensational player. The idea was to make the news as gossipy, as sensational as possible. And they even suggested we subscribe to Confidential magazine, which was a scandal sheet in the day, and it would be very tame by today's standards.
The News Live at 55 format was later adopted by ABC Radio. The distinction is America's most listened to independent radio station, earned for KOWH, a 1951 citation from Nebraska Governor Val Peterson.
The legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
By 1953, the cat was already out of the bag as Todd purchased WTIX in New Orleans, WHB Kansas City in 1954, in 1955, WDGY Minneapolis St. Paul, and in 1956, WQAM Miami. Todd's reputation preceded him as the radio broadcasters in these cities geared up for radio wars with the man Time magazine called the fastest rising figure in U.S. radio.
Jambalaya and a crawfish pie and a fillet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my Michelle Mio. Pick guitar, fill fruit jar and be gay, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bio.
In 1953, Storrs established its presence in New Orleans with the purchase of WTIX. Todd paid $25,000 for the peanut whistle, a term used by radio people to describe a low-power radio station. But WTIX was a full-time peanut whistle with 250 watts at 1450 on the AM dial. Former KOWH record librarian, announcer, and salesman George W. Bud Armstrong was named by Todd to manage WTIX. Armstrong had abandoned preparations for a career in law to become a full-time radio broadcaster. He did his job well by taking the peanut whistle from the bottom of the ratings to number one in the daytime and to a neck-and-neck number two at night. All this by September 1954. Time magazine reported the WTIX advertising revenues soared 3,000%, thanks in large measure to WTIX salesman Fred Berthelsen, who succeeded Armstrong as general manager. The key to WTIX's success was typical of an emerging Storrs programming strategy. Take the best ideas of the competition and do them better. Such was the case with New Orleans' NBC local affiliate, WDSU, whose Top 20 on 1280 program was an immediate target of Storrs counter-programming. WTIX upstaged WDSU's Top 20 program by starting its countdown an hour earlier and ending an hour later. With the addition of 20 more song titles, WTIX now had 40. 40 was better than 20, reasoned Armstrong. Aimed primarily at afternoon drive time and evening audiences, the WTIX Top 40 Music Authority image attracted tune-in and preset radio dials for its morning show. Meanwhile, Todd was negotiating with the owners of New Orleans WWEZ to purchase the station. It was a powerhouse with 5,000 watts at 690 on the AM dial. The sale was completed in 1958 as Storrs gifted its 1450 spot on the dial to the New Orleans School Board for use as an educational station. It was a smooth public relations move that would prevent, for the time being, another operator from purchasing the frequency to, as Bud Armstrong put it, ape the format. The WTIX call letters moved to 690, blanketing the Gulf of Mexico mainland with Storrs Top 40 programming. Another Armstrong by the name of Bill remembers the WTIX story.
Bud Armstrong and Todd and some others were sitting around figuring out what they could do on their station, and they noticed that WDSU had a program called the Top 20. They thought if the Top 20 was successful, that the Top 40 would be even better, and that's what they said. We're going to be twice as good as WDSU because we're going to play the Top 40.
Bill Armstrong had joined the KOWH staff at the age of 17 in 1954. Just out of high school, he remained at KOWH for 2 months, whereupon he was transferred to WTIX in New Orleans as its evening air personality while working his way through college. He was later named its program director.
and was subsequently named program director at Todd's fourth radio station, WDGY, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, purchased in 1955. William L. Armstrong moved into public life in the Colorado legislature and served with distinction for 3 terms in the United States House of Representatives and 2 terms in the United States Senate.
Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Under Storr's ownership, beginning in 1954, WHB Kansas City, the call letters which prompted the slogan "World's Happiest Broadcasters" proved to be the most respected set of call letters in the Midwest. Storr's paid $400,000 for them. With WHB, Storr's had latched onto a dream station at 710 on the AM dial, with 10,000 watts daytime and 5,000 watts at night. It became one of the most copied stations in the nation, with annual revenues reaching $2 million under the management of George W. Bud Armstrong, whose success with WTIX New Orleans had become company legend. Armstrong installed the Storr's sound. Former WHB newsman Charles Gray was there.
It was done by Armstrong. He was the man who brought the plan in and executed it. Todd Storrs was in and out, but Armstrong was the man who was on the scene. He was in charge of the, as we call it, the army of occupation. The Storrs company brought in new equipment, new ideas, better equipment. The engineers appreciated that. The engineers, I think, had a little culture shock at first because the rule was that when you worked in a Storrs station, even as an engineer, you worked in a coat and a tie.
WHB became the tuned-up, revved-up synthesis of all Storrs had learned in Omaha and in New Orleans. With 47% of the radio audience by 1955, WHB demanded imitation.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
What would another Storrs station be without another treasure hunt? The finders would be keepers of $2,000. Big money in October of 1955. Newsman Charles Gray.
No one knew exactly what to expect. It took the town by surprise. It did it on a Sunday. It began in North Kansas City, I believe, then shifted to Kansas City, Kansas, back to Missouri, and ended up in Loose Park Lake. Turtle, I think, was there with a number painted on its back in gold paint. And, several thousand dollars were in the hopper for the winner that day, and it did create a great deal of traffic congestion. It brought a lot of attention to the station. The station already had a lot of attention anyway.
According to Time magazine, Kansas City, Missouri Police Chief Bernard C. Brandon said this kind of promotion should be banned. WHB studio supervisor Roy Nonemaker, traveling with Todd Storrs and Bud Armstrong in WHB's radio telephone-equipped station wagon, remembers what happened.
Traffic was tremendous, and the cops come down there. I heard the sirens, and Todd says, "Stop the station wagon here," and he got out and left us. He thought they was going to arrest him and put him in jail, I guess, when the thing was all over. Bud says, "Well, Roy, I know one thing. People like money."
The sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Man,
the sweet, sweet
memories you gave of me. Made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Man, the
sweet, sweet
are made of this.
But the biggest cash prize ever offered by Storrs was $210,000 split between KOWH Omaha and Storrs' newly acquired WDGY Minneapolis-St. Paul. Storrs paid $334,000 for the station. At 11:30 on the AM dial, WDGY's tricky 9-tower antenna system was fired up by 50,000 watts and was often an engineer's nightmare. According to Time magazine, for June 4, 1956, the $210,000 treasure hunt prize was divided into 2 bank drafts of $105,000, each hidden within a 10-mile radius of KOWH and WDGY. Said Time,
If the booty goes unfound by June 17th, stores will pay only $500, consolation prizes to the hunters who eventually stumbled onto the two hiding places. Former WDGY program director Bill Armstrong.
Our having to pay off the prize was insured with Lloyd's of London or somebody because we had no intention of giving away that money. But Lloyd's hit it, and we did give clues out on the air, created an enormous furor, and a certain amount, I guess, of minor damage to people's properties when throngs of people would show up and start digging up their flower beds and whatnot. In fact, this flair for promotions was kind of typical of the store stations.